Okay, so welcome everyone to day five of our urban retreat and the fifth of our podcasts on meditation. So we've been following a progressive path during the week, and today we'll be carrying on with the prana reflections as a way of freeing ourselves from the confinement of the view that there's a real me at the centre of everything and everything circling around that. We're starting to learn to see that there's a much more freeing way of looking at life. So we've already looked through the lens of anitya, changingness. We've looked through the lens of dukkha, unsatisfactoriness, and particularly tried to explore the relationship between clinging and dukkha, and see how the more we let go of clinging, the more dukkha subsides. And today, we're going to be looking through the lens of anatta, which is the Buddhist word for insubstantiality or not self. So the first thing to say, a very important thing to say, is that the truth of anatta is not saying that we don't exist. It's not saying that we don't exist at all, but what it is saying is that we don't exist in the way that we think we do. So that's really important as a starter. So unenlightened, we're predisposed to assume that out there is a real world independent of the moment of experience, and in here is a real me having that experience. But if we pay proper attention, then we'll realize that all we can find is the moment of experience. Yeah? So that's what we're going to try and practice. I'll say a little bit more about this. In a way, I'll say why we're trying to do this. Why we're trying to do this, as soon as we have this notion of me, this real me, this real fixed, unchanging me, then automatically we have to defend it. We have to sort of create a mine. We have to draw to us all the things that will bolster up that sense of me. And we have to keep out anything that is a threat. So all the time, we're trying to create an identity from things. In a sense, that's innocent, but in another way, it causes us trouble in two ways. One, it's a lot of work. We put a tremendous amount of energy into that. And also, we're trying to create our identity from things that themselves are inherently unstable. So we try to create an identity from things, from material things. Of course, they themselves are impermanent, so sooner or later we lose them, they'll break, etc. We try and do it with our relationships, with ideas, with all sorts of things. And although this, as I say, may be innocent in a certain sense, it's certainly understandable, it will cause us suffering. It can't but cause us suffering. So what the Buddha realized is that we don't have to do this. We don't have to create this sense of me, and therefore we don't have to defend it. This is completely counterintuitive. It goes against our common sense notions of the world. That's why we have to work to undo it. And one way to undo it, one day to undo this limiting view, is by meditative seeing. We can undo it in other ways as well. For example, we can undo it simply by practicing generosity. This is why generosity is the basic Buddhist virtue. Every time we act in a generous way, we move away from this me at the center of everything. For just that moment of generosity, we focus on someone else. That's why generosity feels so positive, because we've temporarily freed ourselves from self-clinging. So it's important to say that meditative seeing is just one way of undoing this unhelpful, limiting set of views. And we can practice generosity and so on. But today we will practice it through meditation. And what we'll do is, how we're going to do it today is, in our meditation, we're going to bring to mind someone that we really care about, someone that we really love. So if you've practiced the Metta Bhavana, a Buddhist meditation, you'll recognize that as the second stage of the Metta Bhavana practice. But even if you haven't practiced the Metta Bhavana, that's fine as well. All you need to do is bring to mind someone you really love. You bring them to mind as vividly as you can. You tune into the love, the friendship that you feel towards that person, the well-wishing you feel towards that person. And simultaneously, I want you to reflect that this person is not me and this person is not mine. I didn't create this person. I can't control them. They're not part of my identity. So in other words, we're going to work to let go of our attachment to this person while still feeling the love for this person. This is one of the great, the great problems to be solved in life. How do we love at the same time free ourselves from attachment? Usually we think of these two things as synonymous, and usually they're joined together in our experience. We love and we cling at the same time. The Buddha has discovered that there's a way to still love even passionately, even fervently, but to not cling, yeah? And we can start to practice this by this reflection. So in the reflection, in the meditative reflection, bring this person to mind as vividly as you can, feel the love, and at the same time, carry out the reflection, this person isn't me, they aren't mine, I can't control them, I don't own them, and they too are impermanent. One day we will be parted. So keep moving between that reflection and feeling the strong love and connection with the person. And just notice what effect this has. It's a strong reflection. That's why we've saved it to the last day. Notice the effect of it. So setting yourself up for meditation now. And then when I ring the bell, just beginning this meditative reflection. And again, you can do it for as long or as short as you wish. So meditation, looking through the lens of anatta, of not self. And doing this by bringing to mind a person that we really love and care about. So we're not aiming to love them any less, but we're aiming to free our love from self-clinging.